was on my phone recently, and then I switched over to reading a magazine, and there was this cool picture of a bike that I was looking at, and then I tried to pinch the zoom on the photo in the magazine.
Oh boy. That's how you know you're conditioned to live in the new society.
It didn't work.
Digital age has corrupted us all.
It has. It has. It's probably changed us in unfathomable ways.
I'm trying to think if I have read magazines. I guess like sports magazines. Oh, cool. Athletes.
Yeah. Athletes? Is that what you said?
Athletes. Oh. That's not a thing.
Instead of Sports Illustrated, it's Math Illustrated.
Mathletes Weekly. Look at these equations that these nerds have solved.
Greetings and fist bumps. This is the Raised Eyebrow Podcast, where we discuss how people just peopling can make it weird to be a person sometimes, because somebody's got to do it. We are your hosts, Kojo, Mike, and Alex. In this episode, we're going to pitch new movie crossover ideas. Look, we're done with the reboots and multiverses. We need movie crossovers. Hollywood got almost close with Barbenheimer last year, and they even got closer with Pure Gold when the Power Rangers teamed up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to fight crime, which was, to be completely honest, the single greatest TV show ever. Yes, it was snubbed at the Emmys because it set the bar way too high. Of course it was. Did it win a Razzie? You betcha. Okay, back on topic. Let's pitch some new movie ideas that don't suck.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yo.
So, who wants loud noises to pitch first?
Okay, I'll go
first. Go for it.
So, this is a crossover between the movie Ghostbusters and then The Matrix.
All right.
I call it the Ghost Matrix.
Okay.
So, the Ghostbusters accidentally cross over into the Matrix world, and then all of a sudden, like, there's like a channel of ghosts that is like just spewing everywhere in the city of New York City. So then the Matrix right now at this moment is being infested with a glitch of ghosts all over, and it's creating a problem. So who do you call? Ghostbusters. Anyway, the Ghostbusters team up with Neo from The Matrix, and then they start fighting supernatural entities, causing causing havoc in the city. But then Neo's ability to manipulate The Matrix combined with the ghost busting gadgets create a dynamic team capability of, you know, tackling both digital and supernatural challenges.
I like it.
So pretty much this is part of the movie. I call it the part one.
Oh.
And then
wait, are you doing a trilogy?
You wrote a full script.
Yeah, I don't know. Like with this whole expanded universe thing, like
shenanigans ensue.
Like, did you not hear the intro? Multiverse. No more multiverses.
So at this point we go from Ghostbusters Matrix to the Matrix and the Hangover. So Neo
Wait, the Hangover?
And the crew of going? The Matrix. Neo and Ghostbusters, basically, you know, after fighting crime overnight, wakes up and they're super excited. Well, anyway, they wake up and they've forgotten everything because it's the Hangover movie, right?
The party. So
they forgot about everything. And at this point, they have to retrace their steps, you know, through a glitch simulation. And
with ghosts.
Unexpected challenges with ghosts.
So the reason why they forgot stuff was because there was a glitch in the simulation. And that's why they forgot. So they were like, so you're...
Well, they were partying the whole night, right?
Like they celebrated from defeating the ghosts in the simulation.
So all the Hangover.
So are you saying that copious amounts of drugs and alcohol is really just a glitch in the simulation? Okay. True. All right.
Psychedelics.
Yeah. Psychedelics. Yeah. I feel like this is the most raised eyebrow movie crossover idea, especially if you listen to our episodes on Ghosts or Tourists from the Future and Do Aliens Exist, where we do say that ghosts are really just, what, tourists from the future, or it's a part of the simulation, people hacking into it. So, I mean, this totally is, it's definitely on brand.
Yeah. Covered all the on-brand topics.
But do the Ghostbusters, are they a part of the team? Like, do they get unplugged and then fly around in the, what's it called? The Necromancer? What's the ship called?
I haven't seen Ghostbusters in a while. Or The Matrix.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We can make it up.
It's high level ideas.
Say yes.
Like the, because those little crawly things, like the squid things, like the mechanical squids, they look very similar to a lot of the ghosts that are in the Ghostbuster movies. So maybe there's like, maybe the ghosts in the Ghostbuster movies are really just those things plugged into the Matrix.
Mm.
Yeah, that would work.
And what happens to Agent Smith and all the Matrix agents?
Well, that he would obviously be the FBI trying to cover it up.
Oh, yeah.
To which Mulder and Scully would then blow the lid off.
Wait. Don't go to that. Don't go that far.
No X-Files?
Too deep.
Okay.
Next crossover
pitch? We just pulled another Hollywood where you just try to ram too much intellectual IP property into one place.
That's where the award show band plays you off the stage.
And then
that's
it gets convoluted and be like, just reboot it.
Get a new actor.
Do another origin story.
Yeah.
Do you want to go, Mike?
Yeah, I can go next. Let's go more comedic. Will Ferrell. He's got a lot of movies. So I figured let's imagine a world where Ron Burgundy from Anchorman like gets off being the Anchorman job and just like does journalism gigs or reporter gigs. So in that world, I think it was in the 60s, there was another Will Ferrell movie called Semi-Pro about like a local Michigan basketball team called the Flint Tropics. And the main character is this quirky Will Ferrell played guy named Jackie Moon. So what if Ron Burgundy interviews Jackie Moon? And then jumping off that, what if Ron Burgundy interviews Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights? Just quirky interviews.
Yeah, because he and then does what if, have movies that are in like every decade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ron Burgundy, assuming he's a person, which he is, he ages, so maybe he retires from his Anchorman job and gets other gigs, just does his own 60 Minutes. Maybe he interviews Borat, or him and Borat do a feature together. Maybe Borat interviews, who's that Sacha Baron Cohen character from Talladega Nights?
Right.
The French guy. Ricky Bobby. Can't remember his name. They work together.
Oh, Yeah,
I don't know. So maybe they're in Press Row together. So him and Borat are... Or Ali G.
Ali G, yeah.
Right? That's my pitch.
His name was Jean Giraud.
Jean Giraud.
From...
There you go.
Or Jean Giraud or something like that. He's a Formula One driver.
There you go. So Borat will interview Jean Giraud. And so will Ron Burgundy. And they'll be in Press Row. And then... there is a spinoff with Ron Burgundy hanging out with Borat, and they're just shenanigans ensue, you know. And then the hangover happens, and okay, that's too much.
That's part two.
Well, Ron Burgundy does make it to network news, so it's possible that would give him like the national coverage to go from San Diego to Michigan, Flint, Michigan, which is where the basketball team is.
Yep. Flint Tropics.
Flint Tropics, yeah. Flint is very tropical.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in January. Okay, so my next idea is... I think it'd be kind of cool. So this is actually born from an idea that I think Mike just mentioned jokingly in a previous episode. I have no idea which one. Is how James Bond is really just a distraction for a lot of the... for the real agents to kind of do their job. So I was thinking it'd be kind of cool if you have James Bond, who's a British MI6 agent, and then you have Ethan Hunt, who's, you know, from Mission Impossible. And his agency is called the Impossible Mission Force, which is kind of the dumbest name for an agency. but anyways, So they would be like rivals or working together, but they would just do their typical stuff. There's like, you know, shit blowing up everywhere, and you know, Ethan Hunt's riding his motorcycle in some high speed chase. Meanwhile, James Bond's just like doing his thing, shacking up the broads. But then you have Tom Clancy's universe enter into the fray, where you have Jack Ryan, who is actual, knows what he's doing, you know. And so as this like chaos is happening and you have all these explosions and shit and helicopters flying everywhere, you just have like, you know, Jack Ryan just kind of like sneaking in, grabbing the data that he needs for the CIA, you know, kind of like sneaking back out. Just, you know, good old classic spy stuff. I think it'd be kind of cool. You know, you just kind of see James Bond from like an outsider's perspective, where it's just ludicrously over the top action movie stuff.
Yeah, I second this idea. So I had a like a unrefined idea to mix James Bond with Jason Bourne from the Bourne Identity.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where it was going, and I'm not a huge Jason Bourne or Bourne Identity fan. I saw the first two, I think, so I couldn't like flesh out that idea. But this covers it. Good job, Alex. Just spy shit.
I like the idea of stuff blowing up. So I'm sold.
Yeah.
Explosions and spies and chicks.
Have you ever seen was it like Cinema Sins, that one YouTube channel where they go through and they kind of like count all the things that are wrong in the movie? They had like Neil deGrasse Tyson on it one episode, and he was like saying all the things that wouldn't actually work when it comes to space or something.
Yeah, in Gravity, the movie. Yeah. Gravity. It was like 100 things that he's just like, no, it's not real.
I want to see an insurance adjuster go through it and actually just talk about how much property damage there is. And what awesome. Kind of insurance policy you would need for coverage on this stuff.
Just make a fortune off this. Every action movie can make a fortune in the insurance world.
Yep.
You're up, Kojo.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Okay, so... this idea is pretty much trying to solve a lot of mysteries in the movie X-Files. You know, like, you have Agent Scully and then... what's this guy's name? Yeah. Mulder? And Mulder's pretty much like the guy with like a ton of conspiracy theories. And but then he's not able to like get the government to pretty much understand what he's how his brain works. So in order to solve this problem, they're supposed to team up with the Scooby-Doo. So have Scooby-Doo unleash the X-File mysteries.
Nice.
So, like, the first one would be, like, okay, so Scully's very frustrated, trying to, like, you know, get the government to understand, you know, some of these mysteries from Mulder. So, teaming up with the Scooby-Doo team, they're able to, like, you know, solve these mysteries and bring fresh perspectives to some of the concepts that he has. And then also, the Scooby-Doo have, like, really equipped mystery machines and... So then they'll be able to, like, you know, help the team on that. And then also his conspiracy theories and all that crazy stuff. Yeah, so I think that would be a really good movie.
I'm in.
There are a lot of episodes in X-Files that are very Scooby-Doo-esque, where at the end, you know, they just kind of pull the mask off the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
like some episodes, they just kind of phoned it in the last 5 minutes. Like, oh, is this guy that we introduced you into, like, in the first act? Oh, didn't see that coming.
It's like the later episodes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They got lazy with the writing.
Yeah, in some episodes, yeah.
I just like the idea of like them coming up with all these crazy concepts, like. Concept that you're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And then they find, like, you know, solutions.
And then you would have people in the government saying, like, oh, I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling agents. And then Mulder rides off in the mystery machine.
Oh
Wait, is it Yogi Bear in the same universe as Scooby-Doo?
Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're the same universe, but they're definitely in the same cartoon company.
Because a lot of aliens always land in Yosemite Park, right? Apparently there's a lot of alien activity there, which means that... Or no, Jellystone National Park. Same thing, you know? Which means that Yogi Bear has probably seen some shit.
Probably. Yeah. It's also a talking bear.
Yeah, that's probably how he talks.
It's an alien himself, probably.
Yeah. And he wears a tie, but no pants.
Right.
He's dignified, neck only.
It's a new level of sophistication.
I can see that happening. I can see like Mulder like tracking down Yogi Bear, right? You know, stun guns story? Or something like that. Boo boo, someone shot me in the ass.
Where are your pants?
I can even imagine, like, you know, bears eat lots of mushrooms and usually they get high. Like in that movie.
Oh, okay, that explains everything.
Recent movie. Yeah, so what movie is this? The bear that...
Oh, Cocaine Bear?
Cocaine. Oh, my God.
That's a great movie.
It's like Sharknado.
Based on a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Literally true story.
Yeah. Don't do coke.
Yeah, so I can see, like, you know, Mulder and Yogi Bear having some similarities. Because the way he thinks is a bit cuckoo.
I see that.
So he's probably takes lots
he
of
He was probably the cocaine bear.
Yogi Bear is someone's hallucination.
Yeah. That's how Boo Boo was born. He's a Yogi shacked up with somebody when he was high.
It's a passionate affair. Next
one.
Okay. So I'm a fan of Toy Story. And I figured if you were those toys, you would want a cool toy owner kid, or a kid who is a toy owner. I figured what better kid, toy owner kid. I don't, you get the idea. A kid who owns toys than Kevin from Home Alone.
Oh.
So he could just use those things to scare the shit out of robbers. Because there's a scene in Toy Story where they like come to life and scare Sid, like the bully kid.
Yeah.
So they could just do that with Kevin McAllister shenanigans when he's home alone. So yeah, it seems like that kid has a good imagination. Make good use of those toys.
That would be interesting. Like, or maybe it's like he, because he's been home alone so long, he's had no one to talk to. He just starts to hallucinate that these toys actually are real.
Mm-hmm. That's far darker.
Yeah.
I was going with the fun aspect where he tortures.
Comedy, went from family friendly to...
Yeah, I just want him to torture criminals. That's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With his toys that talk. But I like your psychological thriller twist. Yeah. He's coping with the trauma with Woody and Buzz.
Hmm.
Nah, let's do comedy.
Yeah.
Tap here. Torture the criminals.
You've seen that Family Guy bit where they redo.
Oh, they shoot.
Yeah. You'll never catch me, and they just shoot the kid.
What was the premise? It's like if Home Alone actually happened or if Home Alone was real.
The competent criminals.
Yeah. Just shoot him and like.
Someone put a lot of frozen seconds. Water on the steps outside. What'd you do? I just hung onto the railing.
So for the longest time, I thought the first Home Alone was shot in New York for some reason.
Second one is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought when he was like sliding on the ice, that was Central Park.
It was. Oh, no.
That
it
was
the
second one. Oh, but no. It was in Chicago. The first one was set in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right.
But there is a scene in the first one where he slides on the ice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought I was in New York City in Central Park, so I always was like, if I ever I go to New York in a winter time, I'm going to try and do that.
You're sliding on your knees in the middle of an ice rink.
Yeah.
But I think there's a scene in the second one also where he's sliding on the ice. It's like a callback to the first episode, but the first movie.
Mm-hmm. Which scene is the lady with the birds?
That's the second one. It's in New York.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, the pigeon lady. Yeah.
Pigeon lady, yeah. Because I think that happens on the ice too. Like he sees her and he's like, oh, you. And then skates back the other way. But in the first one, it's the old guy, right? With the shovel.
Yeah.
Home Alone. Mm-hmm. All right. You're up, Alex.
This was more of a something I think I just kind of want to see it. So Fast and the Furious, but it's Pixar's Cars. So you have like Owen Wilson playing Dominic Toretto, you know, his hard criminal. And he's like, oh, wow, nice. Family. I just want to see that.
It's like the least intimidating Dominic Toretto.
Pretty much.
That's what I see. Can't we all just get along?
Actually, speaking of Owen Wilson, there's this thing where they broke down the percentage of phrases that he says.
I'm listening.
So he says wow in a staggering 27 films. It's also revealed that the star's use of the word has been in 51.9% of all his films and is used the most in Midnight in Paris.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Didn't realize he says wow so much though.
Yeah. And then somebody actually took the time, and I can't remember where it is, but worth looking up. Is they took all of the scripts from the movie and they looked at his lines and stuff, and they looked at, based upon the word usage, like what percentage of wow is, and I think it was like something like 5 to 10%, like somewhere around there, like a good chunk of the actual words that he says is just wow. And then they looked at how much he earned from all his movies, and he's earned like $10 million just saying the word wow, like if you just take it based on a dollar per
wow
word value.
Indeed.
Yeah. So
definitely wow.
Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah, still a good actor. I don't know, everything against him.
He's entertaining.
Yeah, he's in like every what's that guy's name, Wes Anderson movie, most of them. Half of them,
lots of them. And he plays like a similar character.
Yeah, did you hear the next Wes Anderson movie is gonna have Jason Schwartzman, Owen Wilson in it? Yeah, I don't know what it's called, and Wes Anderson hasn't written it yet, but it will have those two characters.
Well done, well done. Well played.
He's done a lot with Owen.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, certain directors have their guy, right?
Scorsese has DiCaprio.
Mm.
Yeah, and De Niro?
And De Niro, yeah.
Pacino sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I think in a way you don't have to explain your ideas because they know it. It's like they're the
Tarantino characters. Does it a lot too.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Tarantino, I think he's used Brad Pitt a few times.
Yeah, Brad, and then Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman.
Like
yeah.
Three. Well, Kill Bill 1, 2, and Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
I think he used Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson a lot.
Couple times.
Every director has used Samuel L. Jackson at least 5 times.
That's fair. The guy does not turn down a script.
No.
Yeah. So, I'll learn it. I'll memorize it. When are we shooting? Give me my motherfucking script.
Give my motherfucking script.
Gotta learn these motherfucking lines.
Yes.
Who's next?
Okay, I'm next. This is my last one. So what if the movie Jurassic Park and Godzilla come together?
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that. Like maybe like the mutations just go horribly wrong and you got Godzilla.
Because they did Godzilla and King Kong, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is a nice twist.
Yeah.
Because you have the Jurassic Park world.
It's basically a twist within a twist.
Yeah.
And they try to like make him a theme park kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about my idea.
Oh, you're not even through it yet. Okay.
It starts as a cool concept, and then it just goes downhill from there.
I like it.
Trying to make it funny, because it's like, how can I make this funny? Anyway, so you have, for eons, dinosaurs and Godzillas are like living harmoniously in an underground concealed space. And then all of a sudden, no, humans. We step in and we're like, we need to expand this, you know, Jurassic Park concept. So we start like, you know, invading into these spaces of the Godzillas and the dinosaurs. So, you know, we basically go in, gentrify the space, cut down the trees and put parks in there.
Starbucks.
McDonald's. And then all of a sudden, this peaceful, serene world for the dinosaurs and the Godzillas is now being filled with like loud music and crazy humans like just walking around, like disturbing these animals. So they get upset and then they start invading the park, killing people.
Yeah.
So to bring peace, the Jurassic Park and their team needs to come together and, like, you know, find a way where the humans and the dinosaurs and Godzillas can live in a peaceful environment. So these are some ideas that they came up with.
Do they sign a treaty?
Which is...
No treaties.
Just asking.
Anyway, okay, I'll add it to it. So they sign up a treaty to restore peace. And so picture a team of like, okay, they called it the Godzilla Diplomacy Task Force Peace Agreement.
That's worse than Impossible Mission Force for acronyms.
IMF.
So picture a team of... experts deciphering dino gossips, navigating like rivalries, and attempting to create like, you know, like a peaceful environment for these people.
These are some sophisticated lizards.
Yes, like a UN for prehistoric creatures. I like how your idea relies on the Hollow Earth theory, like that whole conspiracy theory that you're on like those corners of the internet.
Humans walked with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I'm actually not aware of
no?
that.
No,
it's a whole thing.
Yeah, the gist is that the Earth is hollow and there's dinosaurs living inside the Earth. Yeah,
in the lava,
and which is also flat at the same time. So figure that one out. Yeah,
humans.
It's That's hollow different. But flat. I've never That's seen a different a hollow cult. Flat thing.
Yeah. And then the next idea is to restore peace. The Godzilla Dino Restoration Spa is born. So serious. Offering massages and mud baths to...
It's like a wellness center for oppressed lizards.
To, you know, keep down their stress and distract them from all the uproars that the humans are causing in their backyard.
Gotta show good faith.
So you're saying that the reason why the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park and Godzilla take over the world was a lack of mud baths and cucumbers on their eyes?
Basically, we came and invaded their space, so to appease them, we have to give them some mud baths. And even humans, we take mud baths once in a while.
It's true.
Resorts.
I don't
Alex is struggling.
Yeah, I don't know how to like respond to that. It's definitely an interesting idea. I like the idea of having like God. I thought you were gonna go with like Godzilla, or like the dinosaurs. Like Godzilla was evolved from the dinosaurs and like some kind of mutation thing. But you went with this whole UN concept.
Yeah. It's a twist within a twist.
Do you think they would debate stuff?
Alex froze.
Do you think dinosaurs could actually talk to each other?
He did.
This is just a random thing I liked and noticed about Jurassic World was there was a Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville in the middle of Jurassic World, which is the most fitting place where you would find a Margaritaville. This is so on brand.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's American exceptionalism.
Good restaurant. Very, very sugary and salty margaritas, that's for sure. Yeah.
It's all the food notes.
Yeah. Do you have an idea, Mike?
Yeah, I have two more. Well, one is more developed. So I was picturing a world. I'm a fan of Space Jam, where aliens steal the talents of basketball players, and then Michael Jordan gets into that world, and he's the underdog with the Looney Tunes. So what if in another version of Space Jam, these aliens steal the talents of boxers? So it's like Mike Tyson's talent, or I don't know, Muhammad Ali. He's passed away, but you get the idea. A good boxer. Sure, Floyd Mayweather. And then the Looney Tunes kidnap Rocky. It's the ultimate underdog story. It's like, Bugs, I need help.
Oh, that is a brilliant idea.
And then Rocky just fights his way against these aliens in boxer form. And it's great. Like you can't not root for Rocky.
That'd be amazing. Or right. Sylvester Stallone with Bugs Bunny. Oh, I roll Bugs.
Yeah. I don't know, Bugs. I need more training. All the Looney Tunes help Rocky do his thing. He's training in what's the Looney Tunes land? Toonville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toontown.
I don't know. I don't know. We're making stuff up.
Toontown.
But the Looney Tunes world, Rocky's there, getting ready for his big fight. Against monster aliens. That's the idea. Speaks for itself.
Yeah, it does, actually.
We'll call it the Toontown Phillies.
Call it Rocky 12, Rocky in space.
Yeah.
Rocky and times Looney Tunes. I don't know.
Well, then they have like a montage. Yeah.
He's trained by the Toon Squad.
Yeah. Like they should just own that, you know? Like there's like a hockey thing and they have to go get like the Mighty Ducks, you know, from those movies. And there's like Coach Bombay coaching the Toon Squad or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do like the whole Air Bud thing, but like with Space Jam, you know, there's like Air Bud basketball, Air Bud soccer.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Everything. Gymnastics.
You just own it. Yeah. There's,
I don't know any famous gymnast movies, but we can figure it out.
Yeah. But there's like that cheerleader one that had, what was her name?
Bring It On.
Bring It On. Yeah. There you go. There's, you know,
Kirsten Dunst, yeah.
Yeah. What was another, like you could do, like, Angels in the Outfields, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Sandlot, a lot of baseball films you can pull from. Yeah, they should just ruin Space Jam by just making, like, every permutation of it and just totally cash in on it. Yep. And then just destroy the original altogether.
They did a good job with the sequel with LeBron.
Did you watch it?
I did.
And?
It was okay. It was like graphics ADD. Just bright colors everywhere, digital everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was LeBron's acting?
It was okay. It was decent.
Okay, that's pretty good. I mean, well, actually, he is a pretty good actor. I've seen him dive a lot on the floor, so.
Hey! But don't. Goes for an Oscar every game.
Yeah. If you notice, his diving has increased since he was in Space Jam. It's like
he moved to LA.
Yeah. His acting skills of, you know. Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, that's the pitch.
Nice.
Rocky in the Space Jam world.
My last one is so the Terminator goes back to the Back to the Future world. This is the idea that kind of kicked off this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So as the Terminator is hunting down Marty, because who wouldn't? Kind of annoying at times, to be honest. I like. Don't get me wrong. Like the actor's great, but
The character.
Character is kind of annoying. Yeah, so then eventually you have the Terminator teams up with Doc, or maybe the Terminator becomes like Marty's father or something like that. And there's a lot of there's a lot of options there, you know.
So they're going back into the future to kill
Terminator? No, the Terminator's going back or to the Terminator? Back to the Future series to kill probably Doc. Actually, this is probably more this would make more of a sense. So that he goes back to kill Doc because Doc starts like screwing things up, which makes the future problematic. Mm. And then maybe the Terminator has like I don't know, you kind of have to like work Sarah Connor's in here somewhere.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Maybe Marty goes back in time where the Terminator went back in time to kill Doc, but Marty is there to save Doc. Because remember, in each Terminator, there's a human who goes back to, or someone who's on the side of the humans to save them from the bad robot. So Marty can be
and the human. Marty's mom is...
Marty's mom
is
irrelevant. Yeah. She's just in the background.
I was trying to like tie it in with
Sarah Connor.
The Terminator. You have
Sarah. Oh, she could be Sarah Connors. Maybe she is Sarah Connors. There you go.
Yeah, we got to fit in Sarah somewhere. Maybe she Marty's goes back in time with Marty. Is
Sarah Connors.
Maybe Marty and Doc go and find Sarah to help them fight the Terminator. They use her knowledge. And then so it's Marty, Sarah, and Doc Brown running away from Arnold, who's evil. And
Arnold. Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Terminator.
Yeah.
The Terminator.
Yeah.
And it's just action all around.
You know, if the Back to the Future movies were to take place now and he was to go back to the past, as in the second one, it would be the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
scary,
crazy. Eh?
That's how far. Yeah, they need. So there's been talk of a reboot.
Ugh,
I know.
Just leave it as is.
Same with ET. They've wanted to make another ET. I think they're actually started shooting that one.
Hey, I thought he went home.
Allegedly, unless it's an origin story or something.
An origin story.
This is where the aliens come from.
I think so. Then that means. Scooters will replace BMXs because do kids ride BMX?
Some do.
No? It would probably be like a what do you call those like electronic scooters?
Vespas?
No, the ones that like use your body movement and just they were big like 3 years ago.
Hoverboards?
Is it hoverboards?
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, Marty would just use that. Yeah, that movie's from the '80s.
Yeah.
Horrifying fact to make you guys feel old like me. We're actually closer to the year 2050 than we are to the 1980s. Well, I guess the year 1980.
Do you have any more ideas?
Just one more that wasn't awesome, but I kind of left it for last just to see what you guys think. Kojo mentioned Neo earlier on. I had a Neo idea where Neo goes into Freddy Krueger's world.
Yeah.
So he's in the dream and Freddy's just like annoyed that he can't get to him. So Neo's just like, I'm not afraid. So he just keeps dreaming and he's just like, no, I won't die in this dream. Just keeps messing up Freddy's plans. But the problem with that logic is that it's a dream. So are dreams part of the Matrix? And if so, can Neo use his programming skills to like manipulate his own dream, which Freddy Krueger somehow has powers to control as well? It's a lot.
I was trying to like create this idea of the Inception and the Matrix.
Ooh.
So Inception is more of the dream.
Okay.
Where you can steal dreams or implant idea of dreams into other people's brains. So then I don't know
how what about can Freddy Krueger in Inception. So they're like in the dream and then Freddy right. Krueger shows up.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yes.
That would be a good movie.
That's the one.
Yeah. And he just like starts killing them, like, you know, Gordon Levitt like just gets like stabbed and then he goes after Elliot Page's character.
Yep. Yeah. Leo just loses his shit.
Yeah.
Like, God. This guy keeps messing up my dream. My sequence.
That would be cool. I'd watch that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So Freddy would be like a glitch in that Inception, in the Inception dreams.
Yeah. Because the, I guess the guy that they're in the, yeah, because he maybe he's like really, or maybe he's like a serial killer and he's like just really twisted. Yeah. And they have to like understand like where he, I don't know, hit all these people or hit his these next moves and stuff like that. So they have to go through all this like Inception shit to try to like find it. Yeah. But it's like he's so twisted that it's like you're just in this serial killer's mind. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this, every level just gets darker and darker and darker.
Mm.
And then
this is good.
Yeah.
I would watch this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is actually, look at that. Yeah. That was my worst idea. And we made something out of it.
Get Christopher Nolan on the phone.
Yeah.
Let's
get him on there.
Let's do this.
How much are we getting paid?
$5.
I'll take it.
Want to make millions? Oh,
no, no. You get a Starbucks drink.
We work in advertising, remember? We just get paid an hourly salary, or just get paid our salary, and the companies take the ideas and run with them.
Yep. All right.
So as I was going through research for this, it reminded me of this one expanded universe thing that these two guys put together. Their names are Keith Gow and Ash Crow. This was put together in the 1990s, and it has since evolved. They put it on a website, but the website is like now taken down, but there's all these like other websites that have popped up that kind of have taken this theory further, and it's a whole Reddit rabbit hole, and you could find maps of this online. I encourage you to just Google this. There's a map which will show you and illustrate everything that I'm about to tell you. And Kojo and Mike have no idea what this is. So have you ever heard of the Tommy Westfall universe?
No.
Have you ever heard of the TV show Saint Elsewhere?
Nope.
Okay. So Tommy Westfall is a character from the 80s TV show Saint Elsewhere. And Tommy is he's portrayed by Chris Allen, the actor. And Tommy is an autistic child. And in the last season finale or series finale of the TV show, it is revealed that Tommy wakes up from a dream and he imagined the whole TV series in his head. So everything that happened in the TV show Saint Elsewhere was all in his head.
Going with the Wizard of Oz ending.
Now, in that TV show, which happens in a lot of TV shows, you've probably seen this in your favorite TV shows, is that there's crossovers between the TV shows. Like you might have a character from one TV show appear in another TV show from somewhere else. So you have those crossover shows. And so if you have one TV show crossover with another show, then that TV show crossovers with another show, then all those shows are all in the same universe, right? Mm-hmm. You know, thank you, Marvel, for teaching us all about how, you know, cinematic universes work. So, and then there's also brands, too, that exist within these universes. So there's one brand is called the Redbox Morley cigarettes that a lot of characters smoke in TV shows and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Another one is like, or there would be like TV shows or media that they would consume and watch themselves, which shows that they're all in the same universe because there's shared content amongst them. And TV show writers really just do this just to kind of nod to each other and kind of nod to their thing. But of course, the internet being the internet, people started to write it down and started to connect it all together. So in Tommy Westfall's head, this entire expanded universe, you have all these TV shows are connected, all the ones that I'm about to list. Breaking Bad, The Office, both versions, Supernatural, The Andy Griffith Show, Firefly, Batman, Hannah Montana, That's So Raven, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, The Wire, Arrested Development, King of Queens, New Girl, The League, Modern Family, Fargo, Mr. Mercedes, which is a Stephen King novel, so that means that all of the Stephen King novels are in the universe too, Cheers, Frasier, which is from Cheers, MASH, let's not mention that one, Wings, Family Matters, Sherlock Holmes, Star Trek, Three's Company, Boys Meet World, Arrow, Supergirl, Batwoman, The Big Bang Theory, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Stargate, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. It is.
So, do you have Friends on the list?
I think Friends is on there probably. I didn't find it on the map. The map is huge.
So what's the connection with all these shows? Because some of them are really different.
Yeah, but they would most of them would nod to each other in some way, shape, or form. There's this one, like some of the maps, they would actually tell you what the nod is. Like the cigarettes actually connect a lot of people. And or it'd be like someone would actually appear on another show. So on the Big Bang Theory, what's the girl who lives across the hall from them?
Penny.
So Penny, she's an actress, and she stars on the TV show NCIS. So that puts NCIS in the same universe as, or so NCIS is like a TV show that's in the Big Bang universe, right? Okay, so those are those are examples.
Oh, yeah. But wait. What about like, so does it mean, because in Big Bang Theory, we don't know what Penny does. Do we know what Penny
struggling
does?
Struggling actress.
Like a, yeah. She's like Joey from Friends.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah, lives across the hall, struggling actor, yeah.
Just looking for gigs.
Yeah, yeah. That checks out. So, based upon that list, if you think about it, all the TV shows that I mentioned, Batman lives in the same universe as the It Clown, which kind of makes a very interesting Joker concept going on.
And the It Clown, funny enough, is named Pennywise. Yeah. We just talked about Penny. Yeah. That's not related. I just thought that was funny.
The Big Bang Theory is in the same world as Stargate. Stargate's like this thing where they're able to go through. Right. And it's like a wormhole kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. Like you have Sheldon working on that project. That'd be, yeah.
Right.
Supernatural is in the same world as The Cosby Show, which would explain a lot about Cosby specifically in terms of the supernatural oddity weird stuff.
Cosby
had to take a shot at him.
A lot of people are.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. The A-Team would be in the same world as Superman, which would be an interesting showdown. Or maybe they would ally with each other or something like that. That'd be kind of cool.
Maybe.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy would be a prequel to Star Trek, but you also have Firefly and Stargate as well. So they would all be existing at the same time. So Stargate can kind of like travel to the what are those guys? The whatever the aliens are, the Borg.
Borg.
Yeah. But they all exist in the same universe. Or somewhat.
Interesting.
How many people worked on like connecting all these dots?
Somebody put a lot of time. Like, you have X-Files is on this thing. Better Call Saul.
Damn.
Amazing.
The Flash. Show. Saving Grace, That 70s Show. Yes, these cigarettes that connect them all. So,
what's the Breaking Bad connection?
I'll share the screen with you guys. So that's what the full map looks like. Whoa. It's huge, right?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's like a city in here.
So we have like, so the Munstars is like in there too. I lost. You get lost in this thing. You just kind of look around. But there's like cameo appearances. So you have Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where that has cameo appearances from the Jeffersons, Out All Night, Different Strokes, Blossom, In the House. The Jeffersons is All in the Family has a spinoff connection to the Jeffersons, so that means this connected to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. ER has a cameo appearance on the Jeffersons, so that means that ER is connected to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And it's synchronized in like decades also, right? Like Jeffersons, All in the Family.
Yeah.
It says ER 1994. It's very specific.
Well, because there's like more than one version of it.
Okay.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch is over here. They're connected to the Love Boat through a cameo appearance, which is connected to Leave It to Beaver through cameo.
Is that the 70s?
Yeah, it's like 70s. Yeah, Brady Bunch.
Married with Children.
Yeah. It's, I highly encourage you to just like look it up. Here's the cigarettes connecting everybody. Redbox Morley, yeah.
Better Call Saul.
Beverly Hills 90210 is connected to X-Files because they both smoke the same cigarettes. Yeah. See? Don't smoke, but you know.
If you do, you'd be like your favorite TV show characters.
Elf has a cameo on Mr. Robot? What the hell?
I think he's on TV. in one of the like the character, yeah, forget the main character's name, but he's watching Elf.
Oh,
so which means obviously Elf exists in that world, right?
So you guys remember the Robinsons?
Meet the Robinsons.
The Swiss, what's it called? The Swiss Family Robinsons.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know how like it's an old movie, and then there's like the newer version, which is like the Lost in Space, and it's also the family's called the Robinsons.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have the Swiss Family Robinson. Theirs was pretty much like ships. So the ship was, you know, basically lost at sea, mm-hmm, and then they built like their, you know, village on an island. And then you have the Lost in Space, which is pretty much more like the space movie. And then they're also lost in space, but they're more like a spaceship kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Such a cool concept.
Yeah, you think they're related?
It's like the modern version of that.
Yeah, it is. Story. Maybe they're related. This family just cannot navigate ships.
Maybe it's likely just the same plot, just one's in space.
I don't know, Mike. Hollywood has never reused a plot line ever.
No, never.
Name
Disney gets fun with it. The Lion King is Hamlet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yep.
There's a few Disney ones, I think. Can't think of any others off the top of my head, but that's the famous one. The Lion King is Hamlet. You get it.
How is Degrassi connected? So Degrassi's connected.
Oh, Oz. Dr. Donald Westfall is on Oz and Degrassi?
Degrassi. What? Yeah, Westfall.
Fictional show exists.
Oh, wow. Like St. Elsewhere is directly connected to Degrassi. Whoa. So that means Drake is in this whole thing? No way.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But then there's no Drake music, so
oh yeah, because he's a basketball player.
He's Jimmy.
Yeah,
but maybe Drake the musician exists in anyway.
Definitely overthinking this.
Yeah, that's time to wrap up this this pitches episode.
Yeah,
pitch meetings episode. Final thoughts, or I don't think we do final thoughts in pitch meetings.
Yeah, no final thoughts. I think yeah, just explore the Tommy Westfall universe, and
remember, kids.
What
should kids remember?
Yeah. I don't know. What should kids remember? Well, you know what, like. In the spirit of TV, I think TV has done a lot of lesson teaching for kids, for better and for worse. You know, just, you know.
Careful what you watch.
Exactly. Yeah. Just,
it's not profound, but sound advice.
Or watch out for, what's his name? Freddy Krueger. Whenever you try to go into somebody's dreams.
Yeah, be careful when you dream. Anyway, we're done. Follow us on the social medias. Raised Eyebrow, that podcast. All right. Not so smooth there.